Let us get settled and then start in about a minute's time, please. My minute is over, and then we shall have to start. But before we start, we have an invitation from the UNHCR, that is the United Nations Human Rights Commission, to attend their parliamentary workshop on the role of South African Parliament in preventing statelessness and protecting stateless persons in South Africa. The date will be the 10th of May, and then the venue will be Fountain Hotel. As you go down under the street, there's a fountain. Just around that fountain, you'll find that hotel. So we are invited, but I think we are invited as individuals. But I'm sure that it is going to increase our insight into international thinking about migration and things that cause the push factors of people to come to your country or to move away from a country. But without much ado then, we shall be having a presentation on the consideration and adoption of the terms of reference on the naturalization of the Gupta family, which means that we've got to discuss what to do, why, what questions to address, whether there was bias or not, whether there was due process, whether there was fair treatment for everyone without any discrimination. Those are the issues that we will deal with in the long run. But the presentation may be bulky, but we've got to crystallize where we've got to look at the issue. Honorable Chauke,
my apologies. The invite you've just made mention of chair. I know that everybody is ready for the Guptas now. Mm-hmm. My apologies, chair. My really apologies. That when I look at the program, chair, and you said that members are invited as individuals. When I look at the program and the first opening of that meeting, the panel, and the remark will be made by members, the member of parliament mentioned there, I'm not sure that that particular, so that we don't miss the opportunity. Mm-hmm. If it's meant for us, we can then designate from ourselves here that the acting chair on behalf of the committee then attends. Because I'm worried that we may leave it to be a loose thing that individual must go there, and we then find that we've missed a wonderful mm-hmm. opportunity to be there. So maybe in principle, if we can just agree with colleagues that who agree that we designate the acting chair to represent the portfolio committee, and then each individual member can then attend as they have time. I think it's very important, and it's a very, very important meeting. So we are seen to be participating at the level of the international bodies that are established to deal with our area of work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The acting chair, or if there is a permanent chair at that time, then everything goes.
Oh, you go there.
This is not Hollywood. We can't keep on acting.
So you have agreed, Chair.
Yes, okay. I've agreed. If the chairperson wants me there.
No, so, I'm just seconding, so that at least the portfolio committee should be represented, because it's very critical. I've seen the name of the deputy minister there, who is going to be part of that. So it's a good, to me, it's very good that we can attend it.
In fact, the deputy minister is clear on these issues of migration. She has got quite an insight on the issue. So over to you, Mr. Salomon.
Good almost afternoon, members. So based on the mandate of the committee on this matter, in the last meeting, we've updated the terms of reference that were previously distributed to expand the already ongoing work on this matter. So members will already be familiar with the background of this matter, basically being instructed by Honourable Follick to initiate an investigation into the matters of state capture as related to naturalization. So what we've done is then updated the timeline as it relates to the matter, from which members will already be aware of, committing in June 2017 last year. Just an overview, then again, members will be familiar with this, just what's happened in the committee thus far in the past couple of months. Most recently then, the updated terms of reference, if you'll go to the bottom of page 2, what we've updated in this terms of reference is the letter received from Oak Bay with more clarity on the documents that they submitted in terms of supporting their social investments. On the 26th of February, on 27th of February, a motion was seconded to solicit support from the Parliamentary Research Unit and Legal Service to engage with the documentation submitted to the committee. This process is already in motion, verifying the documents from the Department of Education as well as the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, amongst others. March 2018, the revised terms of reference was drafted, and the committee gave additional input, and it was decided to expand the matter based on the input from a letter submitted by a member to the chairperson. And the letter was then, it was agreed amongst the members to expand the scope of the inquiry to not only the naturalization of, the early naturalization of some Gupta members, but all members of the Gupta family, including naturalization that was done not ahead of schedule, as well as the naturalization process in general, and to look back since the period of 2012 onwards, when the last amendments to the Citizenship Act were amended. So that's the general mandate. But its scope, then, we've defined specifically in terms of our constitutional mandate, in terms of Section 42(3) of the Constitution. This is a courtesy of the legal section of a Parliament, just to kind of verify which parameters that we are operating within. Members will probably be familiar with this given their training, but basically that we have responsibility to oversee all aspects of of the department, including external role players. So then that also relates to Section 57 of the Constitution and Rule 227 of the National Assembly, where we may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make recommendations concerning any organ of state. And then lastly, Section 58(1) of the Constitution, that the members of the Cabinet have parliamentary privilege in terms of the freedom of speech and not being liable to damages or anything that they said in Parliament. The oversight and accountability model is kind of emerges out of that, in which Parliament is constitutionally mandated to function as a legislative organ of state, scrutinize and oversee executive action and any organ of state, and members are mandated to hold executive organ of state to account as a multi-party body representing the diverse interests of the people of South Africa. In turn, imperative that the support staff give the members the support as they need in this regard. And we're mandating about in terms of our performance agreements to support as such. And it was then decided, as And based on these parameters and our legal responsibilities, that the expanded inquiry will be in two phases. Phase one of which has already been implemented. We've already started to implement it, including the compilation of the timeline of events as they relate to naturalization. All relevant information is being submitted to the committee on an ongoing basis. Site visits are being planned to the various donation recipients. This is by support staff. Interviews are being conducted with principals of schools and officials in the Department of Education. Obtaining the relevant standard operating procedures in the DHA in respect to all matters relating to naturalization. Interviews with relevant DHA officials, both in the head office or Northwest and also here at Parliament. Then phase two would be consideration by the committee of the outcome of the fact-finding inquiry and determination of steps to be taken and the form of the inquiry. The methodology, just expanding on that matter, would be the written communication to the Department of Education with respect to confirmation of the names of and employment periods and contact details of the stakeholders as identified in the previous section. Individual communication, both telephonic and written, to all the principals of the schools that receive donations. Written communication with business or government entities outside in section two, where they have relevant information. And the committee secretary input from legal services on all the letters drafted and submitted to the role players so that they are legally compliant, which we have already received and letters have already been disseminated. Primary data will be collected in phase two through consulting relevant individuals to establish the standard operating procedures and norms and standards for early naturalization, collecting data and analysis of the relevant data, and which will be then reported to the committee in an interim report. Invitations to identify key informants sent out by the committee secretary and as required, and then scotting that into the schedule of the committee. And calling for relevant information, written submissions from the public for any additional information that they may have. And then report writing in collaboration with the research unit and the committee content advisor will then commence. Additional considerations were that there might be additional funding required for the placing of these adverts and travel to the affected areas in the Northwest Province and perhaps at head office in Pretoria. There were offers, this wasn't in, this was meant to be in the final terms of reference, but there were offers of pro bono support from external academic service providers which have been offered to other committees conducting such inquiries, which could potentially be available, but that's provisional. The DHA indicated also that they had made verification of the investments as stated in the relevant applications, and that they actually exceeded the amount stated in the application, and that the committee would need documentation indicating how the department supported or verified this information. This information is still outstanding, so we still require that information from the department, how they conducted their verification. Okay, then also the same applies for business and social investments. Then the committee considers the verification of the authenticity of ID numbers listed of attendees of the meeting hosted with the stakeholders at the schools mentioned in the report by the Home Affairs. So just a verification of additional information. And same applies to business investments. So we've then done a revised timeline and given the expanded mandate. So letters being sent to employment of stakeholders within to confirm the details and employment of stakeholders in the Department of Education has already been commenced. Communication with business and government entities to confirm relevant documentation is also in process. Communication with school principals, telephonic and others, and otherwise will commence once the terms of reference have been approved. Call for public submissions related to irregular naturalization placed in newspapers. That's also once we've approved these terms of reference. And then going forward, written responses from school principals and the public to be solicited by the 12th of May, in this term already. Interviews with key persons in the DHA to be conducted towards the end of May. Invitation to identify key informants sent by the committee secretary by the end of May. And then those actual interviews with the relevant persons to be conducted in June. An analysis and compilation of the information received whilst members are on recess. And then submitting a draft report to members for consideration and soliciting their response by the end of July. And then discussion and finalization of the report by the committee in August once we return from recess. Limitations being data collection, adverts and site visits, as well as face-to-face interviews, are subject to budget approval of Parliament. Official correspondence is dependent on political approval and signature of documents, both internally within Parliament and also approval from external stakeholders. And not mentioned here, but also the fact that we're going on a longer recess is going to delay processes. Members are quite involved in external activities, which will delay the outcome of the final report. Then basically the way forward is that the members will give their inputs on the terms of reference. It was supposed to be last week, but the meeting was postponed, as members are aware, so we'll revise this date this week, and then we just need the chairperson to sign off so we can carry on with the next steps. So that's what we've done. We had it up to, I don't know if the legal services want to add anything at this point, but no. So we'll hand it back to you, chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Salmon. Then Mr. Honorable Hussein.
Chair, thank you very much. Can I firstly just say that now I just want to show appreciation to the rest of the members of the committee for the work that we've done thus far. I think this thing has been a long-standing matter. It's been going on for a long time. And I appreciate the fact that all members of this committee have shown a genuine willingness to get to the bottom of the matter. And in particular, I must mention, Chair, and as uncomfortable as it might be, we've only made this level of progress ever since the removal of the former chairperson of this portfolio committee. That is the fact, because we've been raising this matter for more than a year now. And over the last two or three meetings, we've made very good progress, and I really do want to show appreciation for that. Chair, I want to just make one or two comments and proposals for amendments. Firstly, Chair, you'll recall that on a number of occasions when we discussed this matter, there were a few bundles of documents that were given to us by Eddie, which was previously provided by the department. So I just want to make an appeal that we get those documents back again. For the benefit of Honourable Chowke, for example, who hasn't been a member of this portfolio committee, he wouldn't have copies of those documents. So, and some of us might not have retained them. So if you could please recirculate all of the documents relating to the Gupta naturalization process that were provided to us previously. I'm sure Eddie or Adam will have it on file. Then, Chair, in addition to that, the Director General, Minister Gigaba, and Minister Mkhize appeared before the committee on more than one occasion, and they given us verbal reports and responses to some questions. We didn't have too much of an opportunity to interact with Minister Gigaba, although we tried. I want to ask, Chair, that if the the record, the Hansard written record of those interactions whenever that matter was discussed, the Gupta nationalization matter was discussed. If we could please let us have copies of that those documents as well. My reason for that, Chair, I think you will find that when we do interact with the committee, do proceed with the inquiry, I beg your pardon, that some of the information I believe that has been provided to us already isn't entirely the full story. And I think you will determine that, that some of the facts that have been presented to us have been somewhat twisted or different from minister to minister and even officials within the department. So it's important that we have that so that we can equally hold them to that when we continue with the inquiry and ask them certain questions. Because if the answers change, then clearly something is not right. Chair, I just want to deal with just this document, the terms of reference, quickly. And if we just go to the timeline, I'm sorry, I'm going to jump around the document a bit. I'm not sure that one day will be enough for us to conduct the interviews for the 5th of June. And it would depend on how many people that we would need to interview at some point. So if I could just flag that for the committee's consideration, we might wish to plan more days on the interview.
Are you finished with...
No, Chair, I beg your pardon. Just give me a moment. I want to take you just to page 3 of the...
time.
Of the terms of reference. Point number 9. If Adam can perhaps explain this a little better so that we know exactly what it means. You'd recall, Chair, when I filed that letter with the former chairperson, all I asked at that stage was, and I brought to the committee's attention a number of other members of the Gupta family that were granted naturalization. Nowhere in that letter or nowhere in our discussion as a committee did we suggest at all that it would be, that the inquiry should be conducted since the last affected amendments to the Citizenship Act. So there was no qualification there around up to which point. Perhaps we need to maybe remove that, or maybe Adam must please just clarify that, because I think some of these matters go way beyond the amendments to the Citizenship Act. Chair, I want to propose one additional bullet point, please. I have had engagements with yourself as well as Adam on these terms of reference, and what I wanted to just satisfy myself with was that the principle that we meet is that these terms of reference should be as broad as possible to allow us as a committee to be able to probe whatever information we feel is necessary to get to the bottom of the matter once and for all. And my only concern there, Chair, is that if we draft the terms of reference in a manner that doesn't allow us to do that, then we might get to a point of where we discover some information, but we are unable to probe it any further because we are constrained by the terms of reference and the conditions that set out. So I would like to add one catch-all phrase that will assist all of us to be able to do the work that we can. Because as we go along with the inquiry, if we discover new information, and I think members of our committee will agree that as we went along, we kept discovering more and more information, and that's very likely to happen again. So I would like to propose just one bullet point to phase one, which reads as follows, that after the word interview with relevant DHA officials, I'd like to add that summon where necessary, any person it may see fit who may be able to assist the committee to conduct the inquiry. So in that way, if we get to a point of where there is new information that requires the involvement or the evidence of any individual, we will have the authority to be able to call that person. And Chair, the reason why I would like to also suggest that we include this is because I think what we're going to discover along the way, and there's some information that I'll make available at a later stage, Chair, that there might very well be the real possibility that employees of the Gupta family were also given preferential treatment. In particular, there is information already in the public domain that people employed by ANN7, for example, were not granted proper documentation or they were given preferential treatment. And if that is the case, Chair, and if that information comes to light during our inquiry, that particular clause that I proposed to you now, the bullet point, will assist us to be able to probe that as well. So I do believe that it is directly related to the influence that the Gupta family had on Home Affairs ministers as well as officials within the department, which was clearly brought to light when we distributed those emails that was made public soon as well. So I'd like to just add that, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable Dambuza.
Thank you very much.
Then Honourable Kekan after Dambuza.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think with the proposals that are before us, I wish to accept them, but with certain amendments or reviews. Chair, in our approach, I think we also need to be specific of the objective, of objectives of this inquiry. Here it's not stated clearly, because according to me, we need to ascertain if was there any deviation or compliance, non-compliance from the legislative and policy prescriptions that are currently we have. So the other one, I think we also need to identify the gaps within the legislation itself, because I think from out of this inquiry we need to find out what are the gaps so that the legislation should be improved, so that we don't get this situation in the future. And then the other area I thought we need to look at it is to ascertain if the Gupta family misled the department or the minister whilst they are applying for, whilst they are putting their appeal. I think it's an appeal process that their application to be approved. So we need also to ascertain if there was not. And then if the minister or the department conducted due diligence before approving. So I think those are the issues that some of the issues that we need to check. I mean, to ensure that after at the end of the report, we should have looked at those issues critically. And then the issue of the evidence leader, I've seen it here. I'm not sure. I think we need to discuss it further, because this is a proposal. So we need to look at it, and we agree on it. I'm not sure how is it going to operate. The issue of budget. We have been passing our business plan, and we haven't referred to this, and it will also need a portfolio committee budget. I think we need to also include this program, because it's part of our program, so that a budget, we need to have a budget on it. Because I wouldn't accept that the budget is limited, and then if we feel that as the portfolio committee there should be people who are going to those places and then to those sites, they are unable to do that. And then the last issue, the issue of the people who are going to give evidence. Though we cannot identify them all at this stage, but I think we need to have a clue at least of people that we feel that they are the critical people that are going to be giving us the evidence. So they should be listed in the terms of reference. Thank you.
Honourable Kekana, then Honourable Khalifi, then after all, Honourable Khalifi, then Honourable Nisi, then Honourable Kenny.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, sir.
You've been stopped at you, you've been before.
Okay, let me fall.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join the chorus of saying that thanks for the draft terms of reference. And I'm partly covered by Mamata Mbuzi. In fact, I thought that the advocate will say something before we talk. As we are talking here about legal matters. And that I know that it is possible that you'll find that the majority of our MPs are not, they don't know some other legal passages. So it is very important for advocate to say something and how he understands legally so that some will get the clue. But anyway, let me be specific. This matter rests in the office of the minister, in particular Malusi Gigaba. I think here he will be the key witness on this matter. Because he's the one who overturned. Remember that there was a certain committee, adjudication committee, that took the decision. Then he came and overturned. So he's the first person to be called here. And yes, we must get all the records the meeting he held with the Guptas. And also the DG must be called because of he gave many contradicting statements. I believe, advocate, you will advise us correctly. And I trust you will know that. And also, to get someone who is an expert economically, those who will be able to guide us of this investment and so forth. That one is very, very, very important, and you should write it down, Sekou Sar. Very, very important. Because they were calling the numbers that doesn't even fit their size. We must make sure. And also the records of that adjudication team. Because they took a decision not to grant them, but the minister came and overstepped that. So we must be specific when we deal with these matters. And advocate, I will like to be close to your office and make sure that this thing is happening. This thing is happening.
You're our friend.
Yeah, I thank you for now.
Thank you, Chair. I think the advocate is going to be our friend from today for this committee, friend of the committee.
Yeah.
No, thank you, Chair. I think I'm also partially covered by the latest speaker. And I just want to say that when you mentioned that it seems as if when you were consulting all of us, we agreed I was never consulted. But
I agree.
But it does not matter now, I'm here. So that's why I make sure that I'm present in this meeting. Chair, the outcome of this inquiry, it must be very clear. We want to establish if Minister Gigaba used that section of Citizenship Act 549A, granting the Guptas the naturalization. That's what we want to establish. Because he has been telling us contradictory statements on many occasions. The last time it was 6 March when he said, no, these people are not the citizens of South Africa. They are not naturalized. So that was the last straw about this matter. Everyone in this committee were very confused now. You know, I'll tell you why, Chen. We have been trying to get hold of him. He was a Minister of Finance to come here before this committee. And some of you, members of this committee, some of you were also protecting him not to come here. Some of you know yourself. I don't have to mention you. But I'm saying today, it's very proper that says that every member now, they finally saw the light to say that we must rest this issue. South Africans are waiting. They want to know what happened. in terms of granting the Guptas the naturalization. Because it's not for us as members of parliament only, but the country, they must know. Because we have laws in this country, and we must know that if those laws, they were not manipulated by the minister that are entrusted by the South Africans when they go and vote. Chair, you remember very well that the former minister as well, Ubizoam, Uhlengwe Mkhize, when she was the minister of Home Affairs, we wrote many letters, and is there in Hansard. I can even quickly remind you to say that there was a parliamentary question 1.1870 that we wrote, and she replied to me to say, indeed, these people are naturalized. It's not the only parliamentary question that we ask him. There was another one, 1.8.69. Same thing was confirmed. So this matter was becoming very confused. But I'm happy to say that in this draft TRO, the Section 56 in terms of the Constitution, because Section 56 elaborates it's very clear to say that we can summon everyone. Because as my colleague was saying that, you know, when we establish this inquiry, when we go on with the inquiry, maybe there's some information that will come through. So we'll need to determine the term that says that we want this person to come and give evidence. So that's why Section 56 is very important, because it's protecting us as the members of this portfolio committee. Because we can think that this thing is not that huge. But when the inquiry is taking place, we may realize that this thing is very huge. It's just because we're not giving information. And I'm very happy to find out that it's also included that the documentation that were submitted here by the DG, it must also be checked. Because when I saw that document, I even said that day, Chair, if you remember very well, but you were sitting this side. You were not sitting in the chair. I even said that this documentation that is provided to us as portfolio members, it does not need any accountant to say this is a copy and paste. And some of the members were making a joke to say there's no school shoes that cost 54,000, let alone you buy in bulk. They even said, Google. I did Google. I said, yes, I'm saying I'm a parent. I also help poor people to buy shoes. There's no way that you can buy shoes. And in that document, I even asked the DG, did you verify this document? Because it can't be on 20 schools. These Guptas are giving 20,000 for lunch. In all schools, 20,000 lunch. And I'm glad because he replied here. He said he didn't verify those documents. So when we conduct this inquiry, all those things, AD, Committee Secretary, we want that evidence to say he didn't verify those documents. He brought documents in front of the committee that was not even verified. Copy and paste. Because that's how they took us for granted as committee members. So I'm very happy, Chair. I think this one is proper, but I'm saying I support what my colleague from the DA have amended to say that let us not be confined on what is there. Let us say anyone that will be deemed fit when the time goes on will be called upon to give evidence in order to get to the bottom of what happened during this naturalization. The issue of the letter, Chair, that letter, when the DG said that letter EFF that we produced, because this matter was brought by EFF, by the way, is us who told the world and the country that there was this thing that is happening in the country. And that letter was doctored. That letter must come back. I have powers now because we are doing the inquiry. I can also tell the committee, where did we get the letter? People want to speak now, Chair. Let us shoot.
Just
move.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I need to add something on what Mr. Hussein and Mem Tamboza have said. I think, Chair, we should all agree that before we can call anyone to the committee, there should be approval by the portfolio committee, and so that we can have a list for all the people that will be called, not to open it that anyone can be called. We should have an agreement at the portfolio committee. that we have to call this one, that one, have and have a list.
Then, can you...
Very Jefferson, I think I compare with Honorable Gagana when she said that, when she said that really we need a legal advice here, maybe we should have done that at first. Because I have a confusion on the issue of the refusal of Ajay Gupta to renounce his citizenship. As it is said that if one member doesn't get naturalization, according to the Indian, to India, you can't have dual citizenship. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Ajay took Ajay Gupta and then didn't want to renounce. Now, my question may be, the legal advice may be explained to us. Now that it is said that if one does not qualify for naturalization, none of the rest could receive naturalization. Now, it is not clear to me when is that what happens to the renunciation. Does it fall also under that that talks to this nationality, that they are refused to get nationalization if one of them has been refused because of he didn't want to renounce? Secondly, some of my colleagues have taken my questions, but I also have a problem on the activity on that page 7. There are dates there, talking about communication with school principals, telephonically and otherwise, on the 28th of April. Return responses from school principals and public. I don't know. To my understanding, we did get some of these things. What I should say, if we can say under limitations, what is important for us is to make real decisive visits and face-to-face, because we can't even say that those reports were authentic. It would be, I don't know, maybe what I start talking about the budget approval from Parliament. But to my understanding, I think now that we had these school principals' letters, therefore, why don't we opt for requesting this budget approval so that we really go face to face? And there's this start talks to telephones. I don't think if you want to get to the bottom of this, you can ask these two telephones. This is really critical. To my understanding, we really need that face-to-face interview so that we understand even those letters that they were really authentic because they come from those principals. I think there's a lot to be done. As I understand that, we still have a chance because it is talking about discussion for the 14th of August according to this date of this activity. But really, I think these dates must be rescheduled otherwise so that we don't repeat what we have got, so that we move forward instead of taking us back to other letters now. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Then Honorable Figler, then Raputi, then Chauke.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to support this TR in principle. But at the same time, Chairperson, I wanted to get a clarity on the adjudication committee. Is it possible that we can invite them also if they've got adjudication committee? And then also chapter 3 on page 7, with all these telephonicals that we contact the principal or whatever, I think this is about witnessing if that has happened. And then we can invite them for the inquiry if that's the one. So I'll support. Thank you.
Okay, then Raputi, then Chabu.
Yeah, Chair. My concern also is about the dates. I see them, they are very close to each other. Will the exercise be accomplished on time? I think probably it can be part of the limitation of the whole exercise. And there were also some challenges in regard to the telephones, because some of us, we tried to phone to those schools, and there was some problems, because you can see that these schools are in the rural areas. Whether those telephones are really in operation. So probably face-to-face interviews are important. And I'm happy that we've got this document about the standard operating procedure, which I've been really asking that what actually happens when a person gets naturalization. And in also that the public out there, they must be able to know blow by blow what are the processes entails when you get to be neutralized. I thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. This is my second participation of this in the process. Now, Chair, we now have the confirmation. We now have confirmation from Parliament that the committee can proceed. The constitutional obligation of the committee has been clearly defined now. What we can do, what we cannot do, and I think it's very clear there. Firstly, where I want to understand, Chair, will be at the level of the support that Parliament gives the committee. I hear that as advocate. I have not understood the role of the advocate. Just to interpret our discussion, what is the role? Now, when we have to deal with the approach, Chair, the methodology that is identified, firstly, let us go back and look at what do we have before us. The information that is before us, is it properly summarized for us to be able to extract what is key based on the objective that we want to achieve? That is because a lot of information has been given. Now, we need to summarize that information, identify key areas that we want to extract out of that information, then determine whom do we want to bring before the inquiry. Right? The objective itself is clear. All of us have just understood that we want to see if they were granted citizenship fairly, without favor, right? Now, Chair, you then have a group of individual stakeholders and business that you want to identify. So that information that we have before will help you. For example, Chair, well, I'll just put this thing very bluntly now. Everything around the Gupta ignites or starts in the Northwest Province. I'm sorry to say it, but that's where it starts. Now, Chairperson, my proposal obvious is that when you deal with the Northwest, you're dealing with a sphere of government. When you deal with the department, you're dealing with the department that is in a sphere of government, and that is the government of the Northwest. When you deal with the principal of a school, you're dealing with the principal of a school in a province called the Northwest. Therefore, key individuals become relevant. It's an investment, it's gesture from the Guptas, it starts with the premier of that province. I don't see a company just going there. The day we're adopting a school, it is there without the involvement either of the MEC or the premier of that province. So therefore, Chair, I'm saying that in our identifying those that we want them to appear before, dealing with the sphere of government, you don't leave the premier of the province outside the process. You don't. So part of it, I think we must just have time, all of us, as we prepare, just spend time and read The Republic of the Guptas. That book is a very important book, in fact. It helps you to understand that what we are dealing with is not only the issues of the family. I know that we have identified it is the issue of the family, but I'm happy to hear the colleague there from the DA that maybe we may want to expand our horizon indeed, because the problems that were created by this family in the Department of Home Affairs, where you have issuing of visas, work permits, illegal, and all. These are areas that we may want to spend time and look at. If you remember last time, Chair, what we said in the last engagement, that let the department give us a list of everybody that has been naturalized in the last 10 years. I'm not sure that we have that information today, Chair. Understanding that that information will have passed through Parliament. Because anyone that gets naturalized, that information will have to be tabled before Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So therefore, Chair, is that our methodology is clear, we understand, information is before us. I just want to get the point where we get to know capacity of this committee now to get into this business.
Mm-hmm.
With the hands I said that let's get to hear what is the support of Parliament that is given now to this committee. Once we know that, the colleague makes a point here that physically we must go there. If we use the method of evidence leader, that's the person that goes out and interviews this individual and extracts from them statements that inform us that this is a relevant person we can bring before us. That's my understanding so far, with the legal experience that I have over the last few months I was in this committee. Then the evidence leader then helps us, in fact, because we're not going to run all over the country as a committee. But this committee is now in the Northwest, is meeting with the Premier Supra Mahuma Pillay in the Northwest, is meeting with school principal, is meeting with business people. We're not going to do that exercise. We'll then have to identify this individual who's going to collate and help us to collect statements. Because whatever that we're going to do is going to be done under oath. So anyone that is going to appear, that statement will have been a statement that is properly satisfied and stamped by the court before it serves the Parliament. And that person will then have to take an oath before he speaks to us. So that process is the process, and I hear the colleagues are saying that we'll get legal advice. Yes, it's very important. Legal advice will have to be here, so that it's able to navigate and guide members of the committee proper, that we don't end up creating chaos on top of this chaos that we now see. You're dealing with people who are currently fugitives. So I'm told that they've run away. Now we are correctly to say now openly that we are dealing with criminals.
Yes.
Who in their position they are carrying a citizenship of South Africa, mm-hmm. either a passport or a ID book. What does it mean therefore, Chair, if these individuals who are criminals, they are in possession of our document. They are using the current document to move around. The flight will be in India tomorrow is where. Using our own door, what does it mean? What does it say to the Department of Home Affairs? Not only that, but why would the Home Affairs Department even know that they've issued this individual with this passport? Why you don't cancel them meantime? They're fugitives, they're wanted. But the department does not say anything about the movement of this individual who are in possession of South African passport. These are issues that, Chair, as we prepare this inquiry, we'll have to look at. You're dealing with criminals, you're not dealing with ordinary person that were worried how he acquired a citizenship, how they've looked at the country, riches, and enjoying themselves somewhere there in Dubai. And everybody is quiet now. So I'm saying that if they're in position of, this is what we must find out as we proceed with this thing. If they're in position of South African passport, we have to instruct this department to immediately stop those passports. And it is to stop the passport. You go to a point of entry, that passport cannot be processed. So therefore, Chair, my approach is that we can then move into phase two, knowing that phase one of collection of information has been done. We have information, we have identified areas of engagement, we have identified individuals that want to engage. Then we can then move into a phase two. Clear timeline. A one-day thing, I really fail to understand that if you had put that on the 5th of June, we're now going to have this particular hearing and call. It may not be enough, but will have to be guided based on the information that has been extracted from all the information that we have. So you may have to reveal somehow your timeline that you have put here. You know, and honestly, colleagues, that we're not going to do the rush, in chair. That we're just doing it for the sake of chasing these Guptas. We have to help clean up the Department of Home Affairs of all of these other illegal people who are in the country currently read the Republic of the Guptas, you know how professional people were invited to come to South Africa. As they go, they were issued with work permits against our own citizens, right? So there are parts somewhere in many of these companies that the Guptas have been, what's called, using to loot the state money. Those individuals are there against South Africans. Now we need, therefore, as we deal with the family, and as colleagues have said, that we may want to expand at some point. Yes, let's do that. There's nothing wrong. If we had to expand our terms of reference, nothing wrong. We're not going to be doing that because we have to still go and ask permission to Parliament. It's our day-to-day responsibility as oversight committees of Parliament. So specifically, the focus may be this family, but then develop a program moving forward of dealing with all of, because we have to clean the Department of Home Affairs. So therefore, starting with your adjudication, people who have adjudicated the process, yes, they become witnesses. But what information are you going to want? It's going to be 10 people. So therefore, the evidence leader, if we agree, Chair, that guided by the what's called the advocate who's here in the meeting as to what is the understanding, if we took that route, therefore it becomes easy. And then those then become clear areas of engagement. So that's my approach for now, Chair. But I'm saying that it's correct that what committee has done to throw in all of these issues again, there's nothing wrong. We must continue doing that, whatever that we identify, but guided by these terms of reference that we have already put, we may want to expand them as we move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In fact, let me just remind the committee. The committee approved an investigation on some of these documents. And then that investigation is already in progress. So I think we'll have to see how we match it with the inquiry. And I think it is, the dates are for that project, if I'm not mistaken. The project that has started investigating the documents, the people that are the donors, and the supposed donors or donees, the people who received the donation from the Guptas, we are going to go to them and verify. And then this verification and authentication process is going on already. So we'll have as a committee to make sure that we converge these processes into the inquiry. And the phone calls and then the visits to those things are going to be from staff in Parliament. I think some people are already mandated to go to, for instance, communicate with business and government entities to confirm relevant documentation. School principals, they are going to go to school principals, call public submissions and so forth. So that documentation has got to be part of this inquiry of authentication. But let us have an input from our legal department and see how these processes as proposed by members of the committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I had hoped not to say much today, since it is my first time in the committee, but I realize that what has been said already makes it impossible for me to keep quiet. Chair, maybe I should firstly just explain briefly what our approach to the terms of reference was. You will see when you look under scope, we literally went to town to explain what is the mandate of Parliament. Mm. And we go on and explain what are the powers that Parliament has in as far as these kind of inquiries. I don't have to mention the sections, they are all there. From Section 42 up to Section 57, which gives you the power to call anybody you want to give evidence or to produce documents. And we go on to the rules of the National Assembly, Rule 57, which again emphasizes the power that you have. Now, if you look at the architecture of the entire document, it is designed to be in different phases. And a lot of things that have already been said by the honorable members are bound to be answered by your phase two. If you look at how it's broken down in the form that it is now, there is a phase one, which is basically a fact-finding inquiry. In other words, you go and get the information that you think is necessary.
Yeah.
There is already information that the committee has. Somebody may have to go to Home Affairs, may have to go to Northwest, may have to go wherever we think there is evidence, may have to interview people. As you interview people, as you read documents, they may lead you to more documents, to more names. Now, that is supposed, once that has been done, you have now a broad overview as to what is the nature of the information and how valuable it is to you to make the conclusions you may want to make. That's where now your phase two comes in. You will see in phase two, it says you consider the outcome of phase one. Now all the information is in. Then you have to determine what is the next step and what is the form that the inquiry should take. And that's where then the issues of whether you want to have an evidence leader, whether you want to call witnesses other than the ones that have already been interviewed, whether you want to call for additional documents, that's phase one that informs your approach. So it is difficult for me at this stage to answer the question as to whether you need an evidence leader or you will just be satisfied. It could be that once phase one is completed and all the information is in front of the committee may be in a position to say this is sufficient for us to make the conclusions and to reach the recommendations that we want to make. Or the committee may say this now requires that we call witnesses and have a public inquiry. It's difficult to answer all those questions without phase one having been done. So we follow the logic of the document that was already behind, in front of us. So it is extremely difficult. But we try to do it in such a way, in the way that Mr. Hussein was proposing, that you don't want to have a very prescriptive terms of reference that may limit you to ABC. You must be able, as you come across the information, be able to go and get that information. So once you become too prescriptive, you may be limiting your scope because it means now you must go back and amend your terms of reference. And that's where you get all sorts of oppositions and challenges. So rather make it open-ended and be able to take into consideration any evidence or any witnesses. So naming witnesses at this stage, I don't even think is an option because that is informed by phase one. Chair, I think there are a lot of issues that have been raised by the different honorable members, and I don't think at this moment we are in a position to answer those, because the architecture of the document that guided our thinking is that phase one must be done, and phase one informs the way forward, unless the committee decides to change the approach. But I think my presence here today is a commitment by the legal services that they are prepared to support the committee in whatever form this inquiry ultimately takes. Of course, you will know, honorable members, more than I do, the limitation that the legal services have in terms of capacity. But this is a commitment that we are available to support. So I think that those are the issues, Chair, at this moment, and I don't intend to say more than that. Thank you.
Hussein and the Honorable Chairman.
Chair, I appreciate the contribution by the advocate, and I'm not entirely in disagreement with him. Just to say that I think that to a large degree we are already in phase one. Because we have a number of documents already. So we are at an advanced stage of phase one. And I think with the information that we already have available, I think that all of us will make the determination that there is a need for us to call witnesses based on what we already have. And I'll just give you two or three examples. Honorable Chowkia asked earlier, we need to get a list of all those people whose citizenship has been granted over the last 10 years. We got that list. But on that list, none of the names of these Gupta families that I referred to in my letter to the chairperson appear on that list. So there's questions that need to be asked. Honorable Chowkia also referred to employees of companies of the Gupta family and how they were granted citizens, whether they were given preferential treatment for visas and all of that. So those employees of those companies, I can tell you now that we, not just the employees, at least the heads of those companies, we want to call them as witnesses. Because when I put a question to the minister very recently to say, tell us how many people you have granted visas to who work for ANZ7, for example, their response was they couldn't tell me. I don't know whether they don't want to tell me. They find it absurd that they don't know this information. So it's stuff like that that we know already that we are definitely going to call witnesses. I don't think there's any member of the committee who will disagree with me that we have to call witnesses. And that's why it's on that basis I was proposing that additional bullet point to say that this committee may want to summon any person that it thinks necessary to assist the committee to do its work. And I think if we include that one clause in there, then that covers it. I have no doubt in my mind that we will definitely want to be calling witnesses because we've already gone past that stage. I'm fine. Thank you, Jay.
Chair, look, I'm happy about the input by Legal Service of Parliament, and I'm happy that the commitment to support the committee from Legal Services is there with its own challenges, obviously. And those who deal with Parliament budget will have definitely to make sure that Legal Services is even ourselves, Legal Services is given a priority. Because you can see that the mood of Parliament has totally changed. All committees are gearing to inquiries, investigations, because a lot has happened before without really oversight taking its course, you know. So oversight is now beginning to work. So it means that Parliament must prepare itself to respond to support committees of Parliament when they do the work. I think what we must agree is that phase one where we are now is on its waiting now, right? Investigations are taking place, documents are being collected, and assessment of those documents is happening, right? Once that is done, Chair, that's why I said to us, we must not just jump and want to say tomorrow morning let's have Gupta before us. Not going to come here. Still have to be arrested first before you even, come before this committee. What we need to do, Chair, is that let's agree on this phase to continue. Right? But the phase must be able, as we have done here, keep on updating this committee. Then we can then look at the timeline, Chair, as to at what point are you now ready and satisfied. I think the inputs and points that were made by members are points for you to note as you continue with phase one. Because these areas are very critical areas that they will request to really look at this whole issue. Tap very much into so-called donations in the Northwest that specializes with donations and everything, receive or give, it's the same. So we have to do that. Then the team that you guide now, Chair, because that team is under your guideline, it's under your guidance, meaning that the team together with the acting chair will interact, and that therefore, Chair, will help us to understand where we are, which then determine the program as we get to phase two. You see? For now, we may have this wish that let us rush to phase two. You cannot rush to phase two when you have not done thorough work on phase one. Yeah. And I think this is what it's been said. And I really want to compliment and agree that and really give support to the drivers of phase one so far. Then we'll then decide, having received now the final work done by phase one, what is the approach now? the kind of inquiry that we want will then be determined from that report that will be tabled before this committee chair, under your guidance, by the way, meaning that in between that, this engagement must happen. So on that note, I think I'll be satisfied, Chair. But the point that I made earlier, Chair, the point that I made earlier, and now the colleague raised the point that in the response of the department on a number of those who are given South African a naturalized, the Guptas are not there. What we need to do with immediate effect here in this committee today, through you, Chair, and the Secretary, is to write to the department and find out if any of these people are in position of South African passport. I'm now talking of the family. If any of them are in position of South African passport, Chair, the committee will want to recommend strongly that those passports must be deactivated. We're dealing with fugitives. We're dealing with criminals who are running away. And they're running in position of South African documents with them. And they're using South African passports to cut across the world with their private jet, wherever they are now, right? So there's a need that we have to. In fact, you know, Chair, the manner in which I think our approach has been very, very polite as this committee. That you deal with such matters, you don't even have the Director General of the Department before the committee. You're dealing with such serious matters. The Director General of the committee is not here. And it becomes normal. It's the committee, you get a letter that says, no, the Committee of Parliament must amend the immigration bill on their own. So therefore, it means you don't have a department. If the committee must be instructed by executive to amend the bill, then it tells you that there's no department. The reality is that there's no department. Where did you see it? In the last 23 years that I served in this oversight, I've never come up such a thing called the committee must amend a legislation written and instructed that you must consider amending the bill, which the court has found clearly that you are responsible for that. Where did you see it, Chair? So we need to begin to assert this committee proper, and this committee must be respected. And we're going to start with this Gupta story for this committee to be respected. And that's an approach that we're going to take. From our side, we're very clear. From the NC side, I think we have to emphasize this thing more than 20 times now, that we're going to make sure that we leave no stone unturned when we deal with this matter. There's no one going to be protected out of our approach now on dealing with this matter. You know, and I hear that every party says, we brought this thing before, it's us that, but I'm saying all of us now together in this portfolio committee, we're going to do that. And be rest assured that the ANC will support this process to the last. That's where we stand. Thank you very much, Chair.
I take your word for it, because now since we arrived at this committee, there's unit. Chawuke. Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to concur to say that thanks very much for the input from the advocate. I think we are very clear. But there is something that the advocate has said to us that they have limitation as legal. So I think, Chair, it comes to you as the chairperson to say that we must clarify that issue with the chairs of chairs, the issue of resources, in order for us to go on with this inquiry. Yeah, it must be clarified, because we'll need a lot of resources. In fact, we must be resourceful as a committee in order to be able to go on with the inquiry. So, Chair, the phase one, I agree with advocates to say that if we mess up with phase one, it means that we are going to deadlock. So now at least there is a direction in this committee. Because when Mam Tambuza said that those documents that were submitted before the committee, it must be taken to the legal service. And then we rejected to that to say, no, let us not treat this issue as piecemeal issues. Let us treat this issue as political, because we need an inquiry. It's not that we rejected on the idea for the document, because we saw the document that even if you take them to standard kids, this thing is going to be objected. But I'm saying, although we have a process that has been started, so now it needs a very focused in terms of how to go forward now. Because phase one is going to be very broad, and you are going to suggest so many witnesses to come, and then at the end of the day, we must come and streamline here as a committee, which is, this is what we want. Once we mess up with phase one, it means that we are not going to get to the bottom of this thing. I agree that phase one is very crucial, and we must make sure that phase one is protected. And also, Chair, is linked to this proposed date here now. There's a proposed date of 17 April, and 17 April has passed and gone. So I'm saying now it's starting to be mixed up. That's why we need to come back and then say, no, this is what is going to happen as a way forward from today on the 24th of April. Because some of the dates come and pass, and we don't know what is happening about these two items that are listed here. So for us, Chair, I think as a way forward now, we agreed as all political parties for the first time in this portfolio committee on the issue of the naturalization of Guptas, to say we agreed as all political parties, let us go and do the inquiry. But your office must establish from the Honorable Frolic to say we must be provided with resources, as other committees have been provided. And Frolic has been very clear on the matter. We talk about this matter here. When I go to the Chiefs Forum, we also talk about this matter there. So there's no dispute about the resource issues. It's just that you, as the chairperson of the committee, must clarify the thing with him. But I don't think there's any problem. Also, to streamline the dates, as our colleagues were saying, because now we must be very clear as a committee. If we embark on this inquiry, because we are going to be out of this parliament when? 13th of August. That is the program in front of the parliament. From June 12th, to August, you are not here or something. So we must be very clear, if we have to go on with this inquiry, the committee must know that they'll be expected to come and continue with the inquiry, of which we do want to do that. We don't have a problem. But I agree with Honorable Chauko to say, let us not treat this matter as a matter that is going to be, we arrive here, it's fine, because we want to get into the bottom of what happened actually. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think it's time now to agree that there is full consensus in the committee that there should be an inquiry. And there is full consensus of the committee on the terms of reference. Mm-hmm. And the portfolio committee has given Parliament a mandate to move on with the inquiry. And it has committed the required resources and capacities to that end. And therefore, we shall have an inquiry, and then from time to time, we shall meet and then refine our terms of reference according to need, as the needs arise from what happens, either in committee, either where we do our investigations. So I think that there is total agreement on this now. So I propose that we close this matter.
Yeah.
On that note.
Thank you.
Okay, but before I close this matter totally, let me thank every one of you for the spirit with which we have conducted ourselves, and thank each and every one of our visitors that have come. You are important to us. We thank the media, you remain important to us. We thank the department, but we want the department to fulfill its mandate in return. And we shall make sure that we do our oversight accordingly. We thank the parliamentary staff for the support. And without mentioning, we've got a researcher there as well. So without mentioning names, we thank the parliamentary support, because if we start mentioning names, we may omit some of the people. We thank everyone. Thank you very much, and
We love you, Chair.
We love you, Chair. We love you. Thank you.